AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, we will go around the league. We'll talk about the Western Conference, talking about the surging Blazers, as well as some surprises like the Utah Jazz, the Sacramento Kings, and of course the struggling teams like Golden State, as well as everybody's favorite punching bag, the Lakers. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Sports Dude with you, talking NBA, of course, and we're going to take a look around the league. It's been about a month now of play, so we can assess what's going on so far. So let's take a little look around the league, shall we? So we're going to start in the West. We'll start in the West with the teams. We'll run through them and see what's happening with each one. So let's start with Portland. Portland is the top team in the West right now. It's Dame's team. Dame finally has solid pieces around him. Right now, he has Anthony Simmons there. They acquired Jeremy Grant. So I think the key for them really is Jusuf Nurkić. He's been healthy all year long. So when you have a center who can do a variation of things, I think his health has been important to this team. I mean, they always had the firepower, you know, when you had CJ McCollum there. But I think having a healthy center, one who can play both ends, I think that's kind of key for them. So, again, they're the pride of the West. Dame, he missed some games, too. He had a strained calf. He missed about 5 games. But the team still held his own. Thanks again to Jeremy Grant. He started slow, but he's really cooking now. So, he's really playing well. Anthony Simons, once again, he's filling the role of a CJ McCollum. So he's doing pretty good. And the thing is, they haven't had the services of Gary Payton II just yet. A player that they acquired in the offseason, like that third guard to come off your bench and give your guys a blow. So he hasn't even started the season yet. So once you get him in, indoctrinate him into the mix, I think this team's going to be even stronger. So look out. Portland's doing some things. And remember all the flack that Dame got for signing that extension. People thought he was ridiculous. He doesn't look that ridiculous right now. I know it's early. But hey, listen, they've given him a team. There's teams in the West that's struggling right now. So maybe it's Dame's time. Maybe it's Dame's time. Maybe he can pull off a Giannis and maybe get all the way to the chip. Who knows? So, again, it's early in the process, but right now they're the pride of the West. So, so kudos to Portland there. And to Chauncey Billups, by the way, who's doing a very good job over there. So let's move on to the Denver Nuggets. Denver Nuggets, they're kind of finding their way still, because remember, they didn't have the services of Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr. for last season. So a lot of the onus fell on the Joker, of course, Nikolai Jovic. So, yeah, so right now, actually, his scoring is down. but his actually his scoring and rebounding is down, but his assists are up, which means he is trying to get others involved in the play there. And then also too, in this young season, he has eclipsed the great Wilt Chamberlain in most triple doubles by a center. So the Joker getting it done as usual. So, but again, Jamal Murray's back. He's looking like his old self. Michael Porter Jr., he's coming around slowly as well. So I think also Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, that trade that they made in the offseason to acquire him, I think it's been a godsend because he's been solid at the shooting guard position, a position that they've had, I don't want to say minimal success, but you know, they had steady players, but I think Kentavious Polk gives them something at that position that they haven't had, where guys are doubled, you know, double team, so forth. You could kick it out to a guy like KCP and he can drain those threes or the outside shot. So I think that's a pretty good upgrade for them, that's for sure. And then also you're getting very good production from Bones Highland coming off the bench, who I think right now is in the running for Sixth Man of the Year. He's been that solid. So Denver, you know, Mike Malone getting it done for a squad, trying to figure out the pieces, move the pieces along the board to see what fits. So pretty good start for Denver so far. Now to the surprise of the league, the Utah Jazz. You know, everyone pretty much threw dirt on their grave once they dealt Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. You trade two all-stars. You got to figure the roster's going to suffer because of that. Not so much. Utah is right now, they have 10 wins under the belt. And Will Hardy, man, this guy has come into a pretty much impossible situation when you lose guys of that caliber. So what has he done? He has created a system of camaraderie, of guys trusting each other, guys leaning on each other. So I say he's the leader in the clubhouse for Coach of the Year if this holds up. But, you know, it's early. We know this is a marathon and not a sprint. So, but thus far, the guy's proven that in a brief amount of time that he can coach in this league, it seems. So, and let's talk about the reclamation project called Lauri Markkanen. Lauri Markkanen is a guy who's started out in Chicago. The thing with Lauri Markkanen, it's injuries. He's been injury plagued, but when he's been out on the floor, he's been rock solid. Then that's been the case in Chicago, where he started. Then when he got traded to, he ended up signing with Cleveland as a free agent. So he went to Cleveland. Again, the injury woes kind of followed him there. So, and now he's in Utah, and he's pretty much the man there. So, and I tell you what, early returns, it looks like he could end up in an all-star game by early returns. He has been fantastic for the Utah Jazz. So you take into account that he's putting up career numbers. You got Clarkson now. Jordan Clarkson, who used to be your sixth man extraordinaire, he's now in the starting lineup, so he's wreaking havoc as a starter. which has helped them. Connolly's been healthy, which has been a good thing. Sexton, he's coming around as that third guard. So, I tell you what. Again, Utah is, you know, turning heads right now. So, we know it's early. You're getting solid play from Kelly Olynyk, who, you know, he's a vet. He's been bounced around this league, but he's excuse me, he's a competent center, you know, in this league. And then you got a young guy like Walker Kessler who comes off the bench and gives you solid play inside with his shot blocking prowess. So Utah Jazz is turning heads right now, so, and rightfully so. Will it sustain? We'll see. Again, it's a long season, so we'll see what happens with that. Then we move to the Memphis Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies, right now, they've got guys in and out of that lineup. Right now, Desmond Bane, he's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks. He has a grade 2 toe sprain. Then you got a young kid like Zaire Williams, who's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a knee injury. So, a young guy like that, that kind of hurts his development there. Jaren Jackson Jr. just made it back. He had to miss nearly the first month of the season, but he's back, and man, I thought it'd take a few games for him to get acclimated, but he's he's in mid-season form already. So, you get a guy like that, that definitely helps. And you have a guy like Ja Morant. You know, he gets his bumps and bruises along the way. He'll miss a game here and there because of that. So, and now with Desmond Bane down, you're going to need more from a Ja Morant. And having Jaren Jackson helps. And you're going to need more from a Dylan Brooks in order to, you know, kind of carry that production that you had previously. So right now, Taylor Jenkins is really being tested with, you know, keeping the team afloat with this myriad of injuries. But Memphis will be, they'll have something to say when all is said and done. You still have a mercurial star in Ja Morant, so when you got a guy like that, you're definitely going to be in the running. So this is still a young team. Keep that in mind as well. You got the steady presence of a Steven Adams in the middle, which definitely helps. Santee Aldama, he played well in the absence of Jaren Jackson Jr., so you now get a guy coming off your bench who's going to be solid, and that fortifies your bench. So the Grizzlies will be fine. Again, they'll be one of those teams in the running. I think when all is said and done, they'll be among those top six so in the West. So, well, we'll see how it goes, but they'll have something to say when all is said and done. Then we move on to Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns right now, they're, I tell you what, Monty Williams is getting his money's worth because he's having to really coach this team up. Right now, CP3, he's been out since November 7th with a sore heel. So you get the likes of a Cameron Payne getting in there to fill his spot. But right now, his Chris Paul, his numbers are down. So you kind of wonder, you know, they gave him that big contract, a 30-plus year old point guard, so on the wrong side of 30. So you have to wonder in that regard. But nonetheless, they're trying to figure things out, so we'll see what happens. Okay, so also the fact that DeAndre Ayton, he's just an enigma, man. He really is. you know. They ended up, you know, signing him. Remember that Indiana signed him to an offer sheet, and then Phoenix had to match it. So, but he just seemed to be underperforming. He's barely giving you 15 points a game and nearly 8 rebounds. Not what you envision when you sign him to that big money, but I mean, I guess in Phoenix's mind was, where do we go from here? So, you got to take that to account. So, and also too, I mentioned it, injuries. Cam Johnson, he's out. So, he's out like 1 to 2 months. He has a torn meniscus. And remember, they tried to get him to re-sign 4 years at about 66 to 72 million, but Cam Johnson figured he bet on himself. And actually, you know, in the early going, it looked like he was doing the right thing in doing that. Then this injury takes place. So we'll see if that money is still around when all is said and done. Jay Crowder, he's still out. He's maintained that he wants to be traded, so you got to figure out what's happening with him. You would think with you now not having a Cam Johnson, he would want to come back and, you know, at least get his value up, but that hasn't been the case, so not sure what Phoenix does from there. Devin Booker, pretty much doing Devin Booker things, so he's, you know, he's handling his business. So, and then you have the outside noise of what happened with Matt, with ownership, with Robert Salver. So, and the loud cries for him to sell the team after, you know, the allegations have come forth about him with sexual harassment and also some vile things said by him. So, so Phoenix is battling on both fronts, on the court and off, but nonetheless, they're still amongst the six, the top six. So, and I think that's a testament to Monty Williams and his coaching acumen. So, so of course they'll be, amongst the, in the mix when all is said and done. And then you have the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas Mavericks right now. Luka Doncic, who I predicted will win an MVP. He's on an MVP run, by the way. You would like to see that record get better, but right now he's on a tear. The numbers he's putting up is phenomenal right now. Over 34 points per game, nearly 9 rebounds, 8 assists. He has just been wreaking havoc. The question for Dallas is, when will Kidd come to his senses and realize he should start Christian Wood? I mean, I get it. I understand what he's trying to do in terms of, you know, having some firepower from your bench, but I think there comes a point in time where you realize the best thing for this team going forward is getting Wood in there with Luka starting the game, and this way you can bludgeon teams that way inside out. I think that's the better route. Then again, what do I know? But Jason Kidd, I guess he feels, you know, coming off the bench, Wood is a better fit. I understand. I get it. You got JaVale McGee, who hasn't really given you what he normally gives you in terms of a starting center. Then you got Maxi Kleber. You got him, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Dwight Powell. So you got bigs here, but none of these guys are on the caliber of a Christian Woods. So figuring some things out there. Spencer Dinwiddie, doing his best to fill the role of a Jalen Brunson, who's moved on to greener pastures in New York and Gotham City. So Spencer Dinwiddie definitely doing his thing there. You would like to get more solid play out of a Reggie Bullock, that's for sure. He's just so inconsistent. You still have a Tim Hardaway Jr. there, who, he was sat out all of last season, so he's getting his legs under him, but he's coming off your bench, giving you firepower there. So, kid has some options here, of course, but right now, as things stand, they're teetering around the sixth spot, between the sixth and the eighth spot. So, If I had to give a bit of advice, not that anyone will listen, I would definitely think about putting Christian Wood amongst those starters. So let us move on to the LA Clippers. LA Clippers right now, of course, your star player, Kawhi Leonard, they've been dealing with his knee issues. He's just on those bad knees there. He only played two games, but he recently has come back to the lineup. So, getting Kawhi and getting him right is critical to the success of this team. Absolutely critical. But for the most part, this team looks pretty much like last year's team, except with the addition of John Wall, who has looked good so far. So, John Wall is healthy. When you got a healthy John Wall, the kid can play. So he's definitely a help there. PG-13, Paul George, he's doing the heavy lifting right now in the absence of a Kawhi Leonard. You still got guys like Marcus Morris. You got a Reggie Jackson there. Vika Zubac. You got Luke Kennard and all those guys there. You got a squad there. Norman Powell as well. Robert Covington. So the team is deep. It's just a matter of getting your star player back and acclimating him back into the system. So I know they're being super cautious with Kawhi, and rightfully so. You have all those dollars invested in him. So guess you'll see what happens from there, but I think when all is said and done, they will be amongst those either towards the bottom end of that top six or amongst the play-in folks there. So, but it all everything begins and ends with Kawhi Leonard. A lot of work for Tyronn Lue to do with that team. Then you have the New Orleans Pelicans, who right now, they're amongst those play-in teams. I thought they would progress a little further now that you got Zion back, but Zion, he's been in and out the lineup. He's been hobbled. Brandon Ingram, early on, he sat out quite a bit as well. Zion dealing with those foot issues still in the ankle as well. Ingram had the concussion. He was in concussion protocol. Then CJ McCollum, he's still kind of inefficient there. Still getting it done scoring. You would like the field goal percentage to be up more. So, Willie Green's trying to make it happen. He's trying to make it happen with all the pieces here. You're getting outstanding play from Jonas Valanciunas. So you're getting outstanding play there. Herbert Jones, he was godsend last year, as well as him and Jose Alvarado. So they're still trying to figure some things out in the land of New Orleans. So we'll see what happens there. But I think they're going to be a problem once healthy and right. So we'll see what happens there. Moving on to another surprise team, the Sacramento Kings, who, by the way, had a 5-game win streak at last look. So I tell you what, Mike Brown has come in. Mike Brown is a good coach. He's a good coach when given a chance. We've seen what he's done in Cleveland. We've seen what he's done as an assistant with the Golden State Warriors. This guy can coach in this league, man. And he has talent. He has a healthy De'Aaron Fox, which definitely helps. DeMontis Sabonis, he's playing well. Be nice if you get more touches there, but he's playing well for them. Like I said, De'Aaron Fox, who's playing all-star caliber basketball. You bring in guys like a Kevin Huerter, who's been solid at shooting guard. Then backing him up is a Malik Monk, who you saw what he did with the Lakers last year. So you still got a guy like Harrison Barnes, a pro's pro there. So this team is surprising some folks. And if those teams in the Pacific Division aren't careful, the Sacramento Kings can make some noise in that division there. So definitely see what happens there, but I like what they're doing so far, the Kings. And hey, they might have a say in this Western Conference when all is said and done. So let's move on from there to the Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors, of course, led by Steph Curry, the only player in the West, actually, who has a 50-point game under their belt. He just got it recently in a loss to the Phoenix Suns. But Steve Kerr, he's kind of in a quagmire, guys. The fact of the matter is, he has his older players, ones that's gotten him to the promised land. So he's in a fix where he has to figure out how to incorporate this young talent he has amongst the older guard there. So that's always a problem, especially for a championship coach to figure out how to do that and do it in a successful way where you still have team success while leaning upon your, old reliable players, but yet bringing in the young guys to give them confidence and give them steady minutes. So right now, you got Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, you got there. Those guys need to be incorporated in. That's just that simple. James Wiseman, who, by the way, was sent down to the G League. So, and I get it. I understand. But you got to take into account, this guy was the second pick in his given draft there. So he's a guy who could definitely help your team. I mean, Kevon Looney is as steady as they come, but if you have a talented guy like Jason Wiseman in there, no telling what this team can do. So they're supposed to bring him back up in 10 days, James Wiseman. So we'll see what happens there. And then there's, of course, the dilemma of Draymond Green. Draymond Green, I think I said it in my preseason prediction. I still say it now. This is his last year in Golden State. This will be his last year there. I think when all is said and done, he will move on to greener pastures. I understand he's the emotional leader there. The fight in the offseason didn't do him any favors, especially how it was publicized. So you definitely have that hanging over him. And I'm sorry, when I talk about young players, I meant to mention Jordan Poole as well, who's still a pretty young player when all is said and done. So, but yeah, the Draymond Green, you know, you got to see what happens. But he'll still be that catalyst. He'll still be that guy. That one of those horses you ride until the very end. But I think he'll be moving on. So Steve Kerr's just going to have to figure out what to do in terms of that. So we'll see. So we move on to the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are teetering around that 500 record sort of deal there. Their Twin Towers situation seems to be working between Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. You know, you gave up a ton to bring in Gobert in there to be that difference maker inside. He's been that so far, it seems. Right now, Anthony Edwards, he really hasn't heated up as of yet. He's just, he's nearly 21 points per game, 5.5 rebounds, 5 assists. Those are solid numbers, don't get me wrong, but I mean, in terms of the scoring, I don't think he's really heated up. So, I think that's soon to come, that's for sure. D'Angelo Russell, right now, he's just in he's in a bad way in terms of his shooting. 41% from the field, about 32% from three-point range. And he's supposed to be your catalyst, your, you know, floor general there. I don't think it's ever been in him. He's just been a classic combo guard forced to be a point guard at this point. So, if he had someone next to him who was kind of like a ball handler as well as far as distribution of the basketball, I would feel a little better about him. But Minnesota's going to have to figure it out. Chris Finch there, he's going to have to figure out what he's going to do in terms of that. But they need a guy who's pass first and shoot second to get these other guys involved. So we'll see what happens there. A lot of their depth is gone because of that trade. So they're going to have to figure it out on the fly pretty much. So we'll see what happens there. The San Antonio Spurs, we'll talk about them right quick. Right now, Keldon Johnson, he's having a breakout season. I think if form holds, he could possibly make an all-star appearance the way he's playing. Devin Vassell, his breakout is in process. He's playing very well, by the way. He was out for 4 games with injury as well, but he's really coming on. Trey Jones, he's a work in progress right now, filling in for DeJounte Murray. So I think as the games go on, perhaps you'll see more improved play from him. And then there's and they were hoping that a Josh Primo could kind of challenge him there, but once he was booted off the team for his issues there, it's now Trey Jones's position to lose pretty much. So perhaps down the pike you see a San Antonio bringing in another point guard to kind of challenge Trey Jones there. So, but you know, Pop is still there. Greg Popovich, he's got this team overachieving right now. They're kind of coming down to the pack right now. So they'll probably be a team on the outside looking in terms of playoff aspirations, quite possibly. So, yeah, but they definitely need some pieces here and there in order to go even further. But again, Pop's, he's pushing them, that's for sure. So we see what's going on there. OKC, the Oklahoma City Thunder, right now, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is playing out of his mind. I mean, he's off to a monster start. 31.5 points per game, over 4 rebounds, nearly 6 assists. I mean, he's playing fantastic. The thing with him is, it's never been a question of talent. It's been a question of availability. And right now, he's been available. So, putting up these type of numbers, man, it's definitely going to take, the league has to take notice of that. That's for sure. So, and then remember, too, OKC really is trying to vie for the Victor Wembanyama. So, they're trying to be in the running for him. So, right now, they're teetering around 500. So right now, they're kind of in a fix. What you do with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? I mean, he's playing fantastic basketball. But you still want to be one of those ones that can possibly get your hands on such a mercurial talent. Like that 7-footer there. So, that's going to be something for OKC to figure out, but I don't think his value, SGA's value can get any higher than what it is right now. So, maybe the Knicks can come calling, who knows. So, anyway, we'll see there. Josh Giddey right now, he's starting to heat up now. He was out of the lineup early on, but he's back now. It seems like he's starting to get back in the swing of things. And if you're in fantasy basketball, I think the window has kind of closed on maybe buying low on him. So, a little fantasy basketball talk to push in there. But Josh Giddey, I think, is starting to round into shape right now. So, which is a... I guess it's a good thing for them, so we'll see. Lu Dort, he's still very inconsistent, so your small forward play is, you know, is a roller coaster ride pretty much there. Alexei Pukaszewski, he's starting off slow, but he's slowly claiming the power forward spot there. You still got issues at center. So, yeah, but I think eventually, when all's said and done, OKC will be amongst those bottom teams. Again, I think, you know, if you were to sell on SGA, probably now's the time to do it while he's playing so well. Although, you know, how do you explain that to your fan base? But that's a story for another day. So then we get to the last two bottom teams, one of which we should be surprised about. I guess we should. The LA Lakers right now, the second from the last at the bottom of the West. The story is pretty simple, guys. Poor point guard play has sabotaged this team. Right now, you can't play Westbrook with a LeBron James right now. You just can't. You can't have them start the game together. So Darvin Ham has addressed that, and now Westbrook is coming off your bench, which I think is a better fit. The only thing is now you got to rest on a guy like Patrick Beverley, who, you know, he's a bulldog, but he's not the guy who you want starting at your powerful, at your point guard position. So, yeah, so that's where your trouble lies. And the point guards amongst him, Westbrook, and Kendrick Nunn has shot horribly so far. So, And the thing with a LeBron James team, you have to surround him with shooters, and he doesn't have that right now. So, so pretty much LeBron's doing LeBron things. He's had an injury of recent now that bears some watching. Anthony Davis, he's been healthy so far. You got to give him credit. He's been healthy early on. So that's been a help. But, I mean, this record is still the record. Lonnie Walker, he's playing well right now for them. He's been a solid addition to that front court there. Dennis Schroeder, he's close to coming back, so you see what happens there with his thumb injury. So you see what takes place there. But Darvin Ham's doing the best he can with what he has. So I don't think it's anything you could put on him. It's just this bad. This team is badly constructed. It's more that than anything else. And look, I continue to say it. I'll yell it from the rooftops. You know, I know the league likes to have the Lakers in the news and talk about the Lakers. You know, such a storied history and all those things. But, again, it is not the Lakers' birthright to always make the playoffs. It's just not. Especially with a LeBron James-led team. I think right now, all you can get excited about as a Laker fan is the fact that LeBron is en route to passing the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the scoring record. Other than that, you really don't really have much to hang your hat on there. It's a poorly constructed team, as I said, and, you know, I don't think one singular trade will turn things around unless you steal a good player from another team. I don't see where this thing turns around. I just don't. Maybe I'm missing something here, but who knows. And then the last team we'll talk about is the Houston Rockets. Houston Rockets right now, pretty much among the worst when you factor in the Lakers as well. The good news for them, it seems like the Jalen Green and Kevin Porter backcourt is working out great. You're getting great production from both those guys, nearly 20 points per game from each. So that's been good. Alperen Sengun, he's coming along slowly, but he's your center there. I know Steven Silas had him in and out of the lineup, even, you know, having him come off the bench, but this guy should be your starter right now. So so definitely that should be the case there. That's the good news for them. The bad news, the small forward position has been pretty much a revolving door between Kenyon Martin Jr., Eric Gordon, who seems to be the starter right now, Garrison Matthews, and also your rookie Terry Eason. I think when all is said and done, right now you got good value for Eric Gordon. You can probably hustle him out of town in a trade, get some assets back. But I think going forward, you should probably consider a kid like Terry Eason. I think he's one of those sleeper guys in that draft who can possibly be a difference maker. So I would lean towards him when all is said and done. But, of course, you got to move some pieces around to do that. So, and then also bad, amongst the bad news, is Jabari Smith, the rookie. He's off to a rough start so far in the league. I think in time he'll be okay. He'll be fine. I'm actually of the opinion that you should probably bring him off the bench. I know that's sacrilege. He was such a high pick in the draft. But just to get his confidence going and consider starting a Usman Garuba, who's actually playing pretty good right now. So, but again, The Rockets are another team that's in the running for Wembanyama. So we'll see what happens there. So, all right. So that's your look as far as the West goes. When we come back, we'll take a look at the wacky East and all that's going on there. The woes of the Nets, the Knicks, you know, just teetering among mediocrity right now. Of course, the pride of the East is the Celtics. So we'll talk about all that on the other side. All right. So actually in another episode. So all right, guys. So once again, I thank you for listening and we will talk soon. Take care. So my peeps, if you like what you're listening to, you can go to my website, www.allthingsbasketballwithgd.com. You can also email me at thatsportsdudegd@gmail.com. To support this podcast, you can go to my PayPal, and that email is thatsportsdudegd@gmail.com. Also on my Anchor page, I have a support button there that you can also use to help the podcast. I'm on all the major platforms like Anchor, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, Amazon, SoundCloud, YouTube, CastBox, Radio Public, Podchaser, just to name a few. And also you can find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse, and Fanbase. So, once again, I thank you for listening and supporting this podcast. And take care and be safe.